Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
We're going to do a little bit of a different thing. I'm going to ask those that have volunteered to come up and help me with this, just to go up and grab a seat. I'm going to sit on the end here, and the four ladies can come on up and sit in any one of those, two in the couch and two in the chairs. Well, we don't, only one in each chair would be perfect, right? But go ahead and do that, and then I'll make my way up. So this was something that we had envisioned for Mother's Day Sunday, and my wife was going to be taking the lead on this. Karen was going to be doing the questions and talking to the ladies and interacting, and I was going to be the happy encourager or just the hey, good job kind of person in this. And she's been sick since Tuesday, so if those of you that would like to continue to pray for her, and it just we're just believing for it to go, but I thought it would have been gone by now, and it's still not. And so it's like this morning it was like, hey honey, you're on. Hallelujah. Okay, this is what I was born for, right? In there to be able to do this. So I'm going to come up here, and we've got one more. I think is probably on her way. Let me give you this microphone right here. And what I want to start with is just, most of you say, well, everybody knows me. Elaine, I'll give you that one. But what I want you to do is just say your name, say how many children you have, and then tell us the names of your kids.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay. Can she remember?
Yes. There we go.
Hi, I'm Elaine Page, and Claude and I have seven children, Matthew, Andrea, David, Lauren, Abby, Michael, Thomas, and we have 16 grandchildren.
Whoa.
More on the way.
All right.
Not from me, they're not.
You already did that.
I'm Andrea Hanratty, one of the seven from here. I have four children, David, Sarah, Noah, and Naomi.
Hi, I'm Judy Chalk. I have three kids. I have Adriana, John, and James.
Okay, terrific. So just go ahead and keep that microphone there for you guys. Now there's one other person that I think is here, but she may be out in the, oh, here she comes right now. Yep, come on up, come on up. She's like, oh, really? I thought I got away with it, you know, in there. But no, come on up. And so let's just pass the microphone down when she gets here. And so today we just really want to, for us to be an encouragement. I want to talk about realities. One of the things is being a dad is that I've seen Karen even walk through some things in motherhood that really, that she thought, I think at the time, that she was the only one that was going through it. And it becomes such an isolation when that becomes. So we want to expose that today, and we want to bring some hope and some life and some joy in the midst of it. So what we did already is we just share what our name is, how many kids we got, and the names of our kids. So go ahead.
I am Tina. I have two kids, and it's Cody and Gabriella.
Yes, she's got the little tiny one in there. So cute. Okay, so we're going to have some fun questions and have some serious questions. So the first question that I want to ask you was, because I can remember these things myself in there, that what was the best toy that you ever purchased for your kids? So what was the best toy that you ever purchased? It might be a girl's toy and a boy's toy, but what was the best toy you ever purchased?
I didn't purchase it. It was a gift. But we have two ride-ons. One was just one that he would push with his legs, and he wore that thing, like, wore the wheels off of it practically. Like, he's still using it, way too small for him. And the other one was a gift we got just a few weeks ago, and it's a little motorcycle that has, like, the battery, and he drives all over town, pretty much, to the neighbors and back.
Yep.
Mine is Lego. I live in Legoland. They play with it constantly. If it's not Lego, it's Minecraft, which is basically Lego.
So what did you build to hold all that Lego?
Everything and anything, and it still isn't holding it. It's still everywhere in the house.
There's lots of it.
I'd go with outdoor toys. The kids should be outside and running wild, in my opinion. So bikes, scooters, anything to get them outside. It brings their stress down. And mine.
For us, we bought it. It's a big toy. We always had a pool. And they loved the pool. And friends gathered, family reunions. So a lot of good memories from that toy.
Yes, yes, for sure. Okay, so here's Karen's next question was, what's one homemade food you could always count on your kids eating without complaints? And then she puts into to brackets, well, most of the kids in there.
Seven-layer Jell-O.
Oh, seven. Okay, explain. What is seven-layer Jell-O?
It's seven layers of Jell-O with like a cream, milky, creamy in between the layers.
I live at 24 Willow. And I would love some seven-layer Jell-O.
Pasta.
Apple pie.
Shobel tacos.
Sorry, say that again. What was
that? Shobel tacos. It's basically beans, cheese, and a taco, and you fry it a little bit.
Oh, very good. I know in our house that for Karen, it was spaghetti and basically and ground beef. I mean, you'd make some kind of pasta, and my oldest could eat us out of house and home all the time, every day of the week. And so as much pasta as we could give him, that was better, right?
Pasta.
Yes, okay, so number three, name something you saved from when you were your kids were babies, something you saved.
Probably their little hat that they got at the hospital.
Okay.
I've saved one outfit for like each month, each like trying, you know, when you get rid of the next batch, and I'm making a quilt out of it for them.
Ooh. Hospital bracelets.
Really?
Cool. I saved them each an outfit, but it's so wonderful to see Andrea's Easter outfit and all the little girls wearing them now. So it's just, it's fun. But I have to say the best thing was the photos that I took. It wasn't digital back then, so it was really an effort. And I made them each a book to take when they left. Here you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know my mom did that as well. And it's a real treasure to open them up and just to take a look and go through them. And then you're just so surprised. But it brings back such great memories, doesn't it? Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm going to skip to the last question on here, and then we'll come back and continue in there. But what was your funniest parent moment? Okay, what was your funniest parent moment?
Well, at the time, none of them were funny. And I was really debating. But one I recall, we were just in the house. Our kids, our oldest, like Andrea's older brother, they were teenagers. And a neighbor called us up and said, I hope I'm not interfering, but your son is jumping from the roof into the pool.
And which son was? No, don't tell us. No.
Anyone who knows the family knows who it was. Oh, funniest. Okay, well, this is just actually quite sweet. One time, one of our children came home from school and said, I would like a zombie. And I said, I'm sorry, we don't do zombies in our family because zombies aren't good. But all the kids at school have zombies. Well, we don't do zombies. She said, well, they're those pajamas that are all in one and you zip them up. Onesie is what she meant. I like onesie, not a zombie.
We don't do onesies in this house.
Onesies are okay.
I was trying to pinpoint one. I don't really remember, but the youngest the other day was like, hey, mom. I'm like, what? He's like, did you know that guys without hair, they go outside without their hair, and then they come back in and they don't have their hair? And I was like, yeah, I know that.
Watching Poppy, yep.
So Cody is 2 and a half, and so the things that he does is more like the funny things that he says and stuff. And whenever we think of a name for our child, we have to think of German, Spanish, and English. So it's really hard to come up with a name that everybody can say. And so with Gabriella, I'm like, yep, I think that should work for everybody. And I never thought of how Cody would say it. And he says, Gorilla.
Gorilla. That's awesome. So for Karen's This is one of our boys would every morning when they'd come out, and you know, Karen would take the time and try to make sure they were at least dressed, you know, had shoes on their feet, and before they went off to school and you know, the hair combed it. One of our sons, he would wake up and he would come out and his hair would all be like this, like cowlicks all over the place. Like it looked, and we could never figure it out. And we, you know, take the kid in, get his hair fixed. Next morning, come back out again. And it would be exactly the same thing. I'm like, what in the world are you doing in your sleep to cause this? And so day after day, it still can happen. And this was now like we're trying to fix this and figure out. So I went in at night to see what was going on. And there was our cat up beside his head, licking his head and creating these things. Because this child had such a great relationship, both scared of the cats and yet loved the cats and all the rest of the stuff. But this cat was creating a hairdo for him every night in there. And just craziness, right? Okay, so more along the serious lines of it. What is the best advice or encouragement you received from an older mom?
Does it have to be a mom?
No.
Okay. So a few weeks ago, I was just like at the end of my rope, and my sister says, hey, listen to our pastor and listen to this little like clip of it. And this is, he had 9 kids. He's a grandpa now, and runs it, or like has a church and everything. And so I'm really looking up to this guy, and he said that one day he was just like, God, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And God said, it's about time. You're doing it on your own. And I think just realizing that other people struggle too, and you don't have to do it on your own.
Right, that's so good, so good.
Well, Mom Karen told me the one day, she's like, you know, God made you for your kids. He made your kids for you. Why are you asking other people for advice? And that hit home so much because I compare myself to all of these fantastic moms out there. And no one's raised my beautiful John. And he is me. And we don't get along. And so every time I have that moment, I'm like, I was made for this. Take a deep breath and let's just continue.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I think it's to keep really low goals for a while. I was told if you can do one thing in the day, that's a good day. So when they're little, if you get a shower, good for you. And if, you know, as they get a bit older, if you can go through that one bin of junk, that's a good goal. And management advice will tell you, do the worst job first. Because then you're not dreading it all day or all week. You just kind of keep hanging on. Get that worst job done first.
That's good.
Advice I heard was, don't rush any stage. As much as you want this to be over with, enjoy where you are and don't rush them out of that stage.
Wow, we could pause on that one for a while, couldn't we? That's really, really good. Wow. Okay, so question number 5 here is, what is something you did in your family to help your children develop their relationship with God? What's something you did?
Well, I was humming and hawing about that, and I asked Andrea, what do you think as my daughter? And she said, you prayed. If you said, we're praying for you, that's...
We take our kids on mission trips, and we feel like seeing need and seeing the poor and being Jesus' hands and feet has a real impact. Our kids are still in development, so watch this space, but we think that's had a real impact. The other thing is I'm not super spiritual in a way, and so our prayers before bed when they were little were like, thank you, God, for fill in the blank. I'm sorry, God, for fill in the blank. I forgive so-and-so for what fill in the blank. And please, God. But the please, God was meant to be praying out there for somebody else, not for something I want. So we tried to teach them the practice of hearing God from when they're little, like, who should I pray for tonight? And what should I pray for them? And we saw like awesome things. So this is my one story that's really fast. We did this one night, and most of the time it's like praying for a kid from school or whatever. But one night we felt to pray for this couple that was in Thailand. And so we said, who do we pray for? This couple comes to mind. And then we said, what do we pray? And they had been to this amusement park where there was this ride, and it was called the Cobra. And the Cobra spins round and round. So we just said, okay, God, protect them from a cobra or feeling like they're spinning round and round. Okay, good night. Everybody get to bed, right? Like this. And then this couple sent out their missionary newsletter. And it said, we're living in Thailand, and there's a picture of her with a dead cobra in her backyard. And I wrote her, and I said, when did that happen? And I said, we were praying for you one night, and we got a picture of a roller coaster called the Cobra. So we prayed for God to protect you. This is like with the kids' routine. I'm sorry for hitting my sister, blah, blah, blah. And she said, this is the date of this one. She said, but if God leads you to pray like that again, she says, we are fighting cobras all the time. They'll be like in the backyard, and I have to get them with a shovel. And it was just like, God's awesome. He's using the prayers of like a five-year-old. Mm-hmm. To like protect this family's life in Thailand. And most of the time it's like, you know, the mundane and you don't see it, but sometimes you're like, it's worth it.
You know, before we go on from that, I think that the beautiful thing about kids is it needs to be simple.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you saying that I'm not spiritual, that is as spiritual as it gets. Because the truth is that simplicity with kids is everything, because that, you know, we try to make it harder than it needs to be, right? And that's when all the guilt comes in and all the rest of the garbage, right, and whatnot. But that is amazing. I'd like to remember those four things. Even. Go ahead, Judy.
We took up gardening, which is very random. We kind of stumbled into it. But it really taught the kids about growing and being constant and learning how to, like, just be there all the time. And so... you just, you're in your garden, you got to water, you got to do stuff, and you just end up starting chatting about God made this and God made that, and it brought, just God into the garden, and it opened up so many different avenues, because I was praying, like, God, how do I teach my kids? Like, I've taught them all the Bible stories that I know. Like, I don't really want to start teaching them about David goes and slaughters how many people. Like, you can only do so many Bible stories over and over again. And the garden really opened up a lot of questions.
That's so amazing, because that's so practical, right? And that's, I really want you to grab a hold of that, because that's real life. That is taking something that you love to do and introducing God through it. That's, I didn't know you guys were doing that. That's awesome.
I would say prayer. Whenever we go to bed, we like to pray as a family. And Cody will always be like, pray with Gabriella too. And so we'll have to go into her, like by her crib sometimes when she's still sleeping, and just pray with her too. And then sometimes when I'll get prayer requests in the middle of the day, then I'll be like, hey, Cody, let's pray for this person, and just to pray with them out, or pray for them out loud with him. And sometimes when I'm frustrated or just driving through the town, I'll be praying out loud, just because the kids are quiet in the back. They can't bother me. And I'll be done praying, and all of a sudden Cody will say, amen.
And so do you see the differences along here, right? We're all so very different. And that's the thing that I want you to really grasp today, is that there's no perfect answer for that question. There is your moment, and there is that moment at time, and you guys are doing a great job. It's an awesome job. Okay, question number six. This is more personal. Mothering is all-consuming, Karen wrote at times, especially when they are infants, and many moms can feel disconnected in their spiritual relationship with God. What is something you did or do to help you maintain your own God connection?
Oh, I fail in that so bad. But I would say worship music, that really like gets me connected. And then also, just like I said already, like praying, and like while I'm driving or just throughout the day, just start talking to God.
That's awesome.
I say, if you're thinking about having kids, grow your relationship first with God, because when you're in it, it's like those first couple years, like you're in it, you know. Like those first couple of years, you don't sleep much and your brain is mush. And so I always told myself 5 minute matters, because I would have 5 minutes before I opened my eyes to my beautiful little boy coming and saying, "Hi, mommy." So I wouldn't even open my eyes, because I was like, if I open my eyes, he's going to know. So I would take 5 minutes and pray and then go on with my day, because my kids didn't like sleeping. So I didn't really sleep for 8 years. Thank God I get to sleep now. But I would really say 5 minute matters, and grow your relationship before you have kids.
I think it's about perspective, actually. I got a span now, right? So you got a bit more perspective the second time around. But I had been very disciplined. Like, I read my Bible, I study the Word, I spend hours with God before kids. And that's how I felt through my spiritual disciplines. I felt connected to God. And all of that goes as soon as you have a handful of children. But what you do get is becoming more like Jesus. You become more patient. You become more selfless. You become more giving and generous and kind. And all of the character development stuff happens. And that's as much as part of our Christian formation as feeling intimate or close to God. It's we become more like him through the process. And I think with first ones, it's like, I really missed ministry. Like, I love this, and I missed it, because I was home, and I'm home again. But learning that the children are not a distraction, but actually the vehicle of the spiritual growth and development, is a huge perspective shift that changes everything in a flash. Because God will speak to you through whatever you're involved in, whether you're a mom, a dad, and a farmer, or whatever. He will speak to you with what is around you. And so if you've got kids, it's like he'll speak to you at soccer practice, or while you're washing dishes, or through something they say or do. Just as much as if you're a driver on the road, he's going to speak to you with what's on the radio or what's going around you. And so just losing the guilt and losing the must do, should do, have to do to be close to God, and embracing grace is like the best gift for how to walk with Jesus. It's all by grace, and he loves me, and he's reaching out to me all the time.
That's really good.
We have the same answer. When I was home a lot, and it was about the ministry thing, and Claude had obligations and duties at church ministering, and so it was put on hold a lot of times for me at home, and that's okay, but you do feel like you're missing out. You do feel like I'm not growing, and you aren't in the Word as much. But when one time when I was, and this is my preach, out of Romans 12:6, he gave me this scripture, and it still holds for my children now and for my grandchildren. He's talking about the body of Christ, but think of it as parenting. Having then gifts differing according to his grace given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So just think, as a mother, prophesy, serve, teach, encourage, give, lead, and show mercy cheerfully.
That's good. That's good. I think that you all just shared, I love the truth of what you're saying. I know when Karen, we had three kids, all young, just go, 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 go. Right. And I would come home from work and she would, you know, throw these kids at me, and it was just needed a few minutes, right? Just needed a few minutes. But there is this thing I kept trying to say to Karen was that I don't have expectations, even though I sometimes they would leak out of me. Mm-hmm. Right. God is the same way in this sense that he just wants to be around you while you're doing what he's asked you to do. And you guys all do a good job. And I think, Andrew, you said it. It was getting away and moving away from the guilt. The guilt and the shame and all the rest of the garbage. And something I'll talk about a little bit later is the comparison thing. That's just brutal, right, in there. But you guys are all doing a great job. And I tell you, the Father's shining down on you every day. Let me give you this this last one here. So wisdom, here we go. What would you tell the younger you about mothering if you could? What would you tell the younger you?
I would tell myself, don't compare and don't judge other parents, other ways to do it. And I still have to do that, remind myself, don't judge. Because now we have grown children and it's easy to do, so it's a reminder, don't judge other parenting decisions.
That's good.
So one of my children is currently learning to ride a bike. And the thing with riding a bike is you've got to look forward, you know, but she's so proud of herself that she just, like, wants to look around as she's going. And inevitably, this is when she falls over or goes into the middle of the road or something. And I feel like it's the same with mothering. As soon as you start looking around, that's when you're going to crash. Tina's an awesome cook. My mother was incredibly present. My sister Lauren is like a wonder. She works full time and she's like the events coordinator for her family, like you would not imagine. You garden, Abby gardens. These are awesome, but this is not me. I am like hopeless at almost all of those things. And I think embracing who God has made me to be, I would tell the younger me, you're never going to be this. I actually need to work as a person. I love to go to work. But I was like, I got to be home full time because, like, that's the best mom model. And so learning, you know what? It's okay for me to work sometimes, and it's okay for me to be home sometimes and just be me. That was the best thing for me.
I would probably tell her, don't sweat the small stuff. If you don't get to it, you don't get to it. Like, when you don't have kids, you can get to all of the things. But when you have kids, you can get to the thing. And maybe, if you're lucky, to the next thing, because so-and-so wants juice and so-and-so is hungry and so-and-so just skinned their knee and you're in the middle of trying to get your stuff done. So don't sweat the small stuff. Just aim for the one thing you need to do that day.
I think I would also say, don't judge. Like, you have no idea what that mom went through today already.
Right, absolutely. So just before I shift a little bit here, is there anything that any of you, and I didn't put this down as a question, but anything besides what we've already said, is that you'd like to really encourage one of the moms that are maybe in the audience. So take a look out here for a second, and I know it's hard to see sometimes with all the lights and stuff, but if you see a mom out there and you'd like to just encourage them, just go ahead and we'll just put up our hands and we can pass the microphone over to you. And if any of you guys aren't, I know that just sort of puts you on the spot somewhat. If you're not comfortable with it, don't worry about it, okay, in there. But okay.
This isn't for a specific mom, but I have an awesome mom, but I also have wonderful mothers in the faith. So I have some, they're older, not married, because Mr. Wright hasn't come along, so they've never had kids, but they have invested into me in different ways. So if you're not a biological mom at this point, honestly, bless you, and if that's a sorrow and a grief for you, my heart goes out to you. But some people who've made such a huge impact on my life have been free from all of the trappings of having a family and kids, and they are doing wonders in helping people grow in Jesus. So if that's you, thank you for what you're giving to the body.
Amen. Anybody else? You could do the same way, too, just in general, if you'd wish.
To the mom with tinies, you got this. I know Cody's busy, but you got this. And he loves his little sister, you can tell. You're a good mom. Andrea, I could see you when you're lonely and you're just with your baby and this is what you've wanted and you've prayed for and you've asked God for and you cried for, but you're stinking lonely and tired and you don't want to do it anymore. I was that girl too. God gave me miracle babies. I lost a couple in the mix. So I know my kids are miracle babies to be able to bring them to term. I almost died with my oldest. And I know that the loneliness of the single mom going to nurse the baby, because that's what you do in the middle of dinner time, because that's when they're hungry. I see you, I see the lonely, and I bless you. And I just ask that God will just pour down his glory and blessings on you while you're in that season, in that moment where you can't necessarily always just read the Bible and dive in, but you're there. I just ask that just God just overshadows you in those moments.
Anyone else?
I just want to bless all the grandmothers out there. Keep it up. It's a wonderful time of life.
So speaking of grandmas, okay, in there, what's something you just love to do with your grandkids to just encourage them? Like, how do you function along those lines?
Just spending time when you're like playing cards, you can drop little things. You know, it's not a let's go talk about this, but it's just in the everyday.
Right. You don't have to sit them down and teach them a Bible lesson. Right? Yeah. You can just be you along the way. I think it's just so much fun, to be honest with you. Karen is having so much fun with grandbabies because they do go home at the end of the day. Right. And most of the time, anyways, in there. But there's just a simple joy in that. And there's fun in that. But there's such a joy as well of, I would say this to all of our older moms or grandmothers, you've got wisdom. Don't let anybody tell you you don't. You've got wisdom. You've been through things. And even the moms that are here, you know, nobody knows your story, right? Come on now. Everybody has a different story. And you guys all mentioned that sense of not judging each other, because everybody has a different story, right? Everybody has different kids. And I think all of you would probably agree with this so far, in the sense that you're saying that all your kids are different. There is no cookie cutter method with every kid. Every new child added in is a new adaption of what you thought was just going to absolutely work for every single one of them, right? And so there's this new journey going forward. Well, can we just thank these ladies here? You guys can grab a seat in there. And so just closing today, wrapping up today, I have just a couple of words to share with you. And that is really just, if you look at Galatians chapter 6 and 4-5, it says this. It speaks of being devoted to fulfill the work that God has given you, and not being affirmed, not needing to be affirmed by others. Or another translation says, not having to compare yourself with others. I think that and this can be for every one of us today, not just for moms, but you know that comparison, Theodore Roosevelt said this, comparison is the thief of joy. Just let that sit in just for a little bit in there. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare yourself with other moms. You know, I love this. I went and looked up a quote. So this is not the way that I talk, but this is the way that this quote is. It says here, don't compare yourself with other moms. We're all a hot mess. Some just hide it better than others. I thought that was hilarious in there, but also very true, right? Comparison causes us, here's the thing, it causes us to stop trying and to stop learning. Because when we compare ourselves with others, we go, I can't be that, I can't do that, so I'm going to stop trying. And in the midst of that comparison, what happens too is we start to go, I'll never be that. And we have this thing up there that is this standard that really is, it's not a cookie cutter thing. Come on now, right? All of us know this, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about moms today, if we're talking to dads today, we're talking about those of you that are in school, the pressures around that, that when we live a life of comparison, here's the other thing, the sister of comparison is perfectionism. It will steal the quality and quantity of the moments that matter with your kids. Don't let those things happen. I love this one as well, this quote, motherhood is not a competition to see who has the smartest kids, the cleanest house, the healthiest dinners, or the nicest clothes. It says this, motherhood is your, capital Y, journey with your children. Simple. Right? It is your journey with your kids. And it's that moment where I know that I joked about that a minute ago, but coming home and there would be days when I was working, driving a truck. So I'd be up at 5:30 in the morning. And so in the middle of the night, Karen would be getting up with the kids and doing those things. And I would get up and go off to work and I'd come back sometimes not till 6-7 o'clock at night. And these babies would be put into, or little kids would be put into my arms. And she just needed that moment. But I remember again so many times telling her, honey, you're doing what I can't do. You're doing an amazing job. And don't let anybody steal these moments. Because can any mother say that sometimes it's so frantic, it's just like absolutely frantic. And in those moments, you start to compare yourself. So I would say today, would you stand with me just for a minute? And what I want you to do is just take a second and close your eyes. Do you know that God made a covenant with us? And that covenant was that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And that he'd always be there to help us, no matter what we're going through. I think the hardest thing for Karen was, and this is what she would want me to say here, was, moms, if you mess up, admit it. Be honest. Karen went to our kids so many different times and said, honey, I'm sorry I kind of yelled, and I'm sorry I was upset, and I'm sorry I messed that up. And see, your kids learn to respect that, and they learn to love that in that moment because they see the real you, right? In those moments. So I'd encourage you to just really be that upfront honest with your kids and saying, you know what, I messed up. But then not letting that be the measure of what your future is or for the measure of your worth. Now here's something I'm going to challenge you to do today. Close your eyes. And when you feel like it, I want you just to raise your hands up to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. So God, I declare that these ladies, these moms, they have so much worth and so much value. And we declare over them right now a new covenant, Lord, of you with them, teaching them, showing them, whispering to them, helping them, and being with them in everything they do. So Lord, as their hands are raised, I pray that you give them that grace, Lord, that not their husband can't give, not their friends, not their family, not their moms, not their nobody around them can give them this. But you can give them to grace them for what they need in this moment. And we speak over you that you are loved and that you are absolutely amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.